This is Jaguars Reporters.
Jaguars Reporters Reporters.
Presented by Burger King. Join Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher and peer of the realm we call Game Day, Cole Pepper, as they break down the last Jaguars game and look ahead to the next time the Jaguars take the field.
Why would I listen to anybody else?
Jaguars Reporters is brought to you by Burger King, American Express, Baptist Health, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Reporters begins right now.
And we welcome you in. Cole Pepper, John Osher, Joe Fortunato with the controls. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King underway. The penultimate Jaguars Reporters of the year. We will not be on next week because next week is Christmas, and John has to open up all his Christmas gifts from all the loyal readers of Jaguars.com and the Ozone at that point.
Yeah, and then at 8 a.m., what am I going to do?
Well, then you can kick back and relax, I suppose. But after that, we will be back on New Year's Day. Will we not? That's when the last show will be on New Year's Day. So we'll be wrapping things up, and that will be an interesting show because that'll be the, you know, after the season's over, we'll see how it all goes down. Just as a side note there.
In other words, we could talk about the Gator Bowl game.
Well, it's going to be interesting. By the way, plenty of good seats still available there. One of the things I think on that day is going to be interesting because it is, you know, sometimes decisions about the offseason come out on Monday. Sometimes they don't. And if it doesn't come out on Monday, it may not come out until Wednesday because Tuesday the Gator Bowl game is here at the stadium. And it'll be interesting to see how the how some of these offseason decisions start rolling down.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you're 2-12, it's very hard to predict, what the next phase is going to be and how it's going to happen. I mean, it's just you just don't know.
All right, let's get things started with.
And now, three burning questions.
Don't give me the eye because it shouldn't be. Let's start it with and now.
I know that was okay. That's me. Hey, fumble. Pepper. Joe Fortunato has the three burning questions.
Should we do it again?
All right, take two.
All right, here we go.
We like to get things started the same way each and every week here on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King.
And now.
That's better.
Three burning questions.
Yes, Joe, what do you have for us?
I have question number one.
All right.
What is going on with the third quarter struggles?
What, you're asking me? No, I mean, it's clearly one of those where if anybody knew, the Jaguars would certainly use it because it's been bad. And it's really been noticeable the last 2 weeks, sort of dates back to Buffalo. And it's obviously the prevailing theme right now. They're getting – the defense is getting dominated in the third quarter. The offense can't get off. I mean, the offense can get off the field, and it's it's bad. It's turned the last two games into essentially unwinnable games.
We've seen some bad second halves too, though, from this team all the way through the year. I mean, that's been one of the things. One of the really notable
the last couple of weeks.
Especially when you look at the numbers with 99 yards from the Jets and 200 yards from Miami. Not exactly high-powered offenses, either one of them, by the way. And so that worries you.
No, even against good offenses, it's difficult to give up 200 and a quarter.
And so one of the things that you look at is, where are they? Are there some similarities? There's some common threads here. And the common threads are that they haven't been very good. There have been a lot of different ways they haven't been very good. One of the things I wonder about is, are they anticipating the changes that the other team is making? That's not always easy to do. We talked last week about the Jets changing some of the blocking approaches they were using on some of their counter plays. They adjusted to that, but they didn't get adjusted to it till after the to the end of the third quarter. Sometimes you need quick adjustments to things, and that's one thing I think that you'd like to see done better with this team is adjust on the fly a little bit better.
And Mike's talked about it a little bit. It does turn into a little bit of a snowball where one plays off the other. When the offense the defense struggles and the offense goes three and out, all of a sudden the offense going three and out right after the defensive struggle caused the defense to be more tired. And then it sort of builds on itself. And that's not an excuse for the defense. Got to get off the field. But, you know, one unit struggling doesn't help the other. And then it's really just snowballed the last couple of weeks. But you're right. It's been a thing all year where one or two things go wrong that shouldn't end the game. And they essentially do end the game. All of a sudden, you get a bad break the other day where, you know, I'm not sure we'll ever know exactly what happened with the communication between the referee and Guy Wimper. So you get a touchdown taken off the board, and then all of a sudden that one thing seems to start this slide, and it's really been the story of the whole season, frankly.
Maybe practices have just been too tough.
All right, question two, guys. Has Jason Babin's play in the last three games changed your opinion of what this team needs?
You know, I don't know that it's totally changed my opinion, but I do think it does bring up some possibilities. I mean, pass rush is still a huge need for this team. But, and follow me with this, if Babin, you know, if you can say that you feel comfortable that Babin's going to be a guy who's going to make a play, at least one play a game, as he has in these three games, and if you can get Mincy playing back close to where he was before, you know, just, I mean, which, again, wasn't a dominant pass rusher, had really three games that helped padded those stats, but he's a good effort guy, and he can certainly be better than he is now.
But even without the three games with the sacks, he had consistent pressure far more often last year than he did this year.
And no doubt about it. So if you can get him back to that point and then draft a guy who can rush the passer, mm-hmm. and if Andre Branch can take a step forward, who, by the way, we'll get to in a minute, he was put on injury reserve today. Now all of a sudden you've got some components of guys who can help you rush the passer. Now I don't know if Andre Branch is going to become that guy, and I don't know if the guy that they draft will become that guy. But when you have a guy like Babin and Mincy with a track record, it gives you a little more hope that they're not as far away in solving that as it looked like they might have been, you know, a month ago.
Well, it does a couple of things. As you said, it basically means that you're not just desperate on draft day, which is what you don't want to be. Oh my goodness, we have to pick this spot. But I think the reality is, I don't think you're going to be desperate on draft day in the sense that, you know, no matter what you're picking, it's going to upgrade you at a spot, and you just got to get better right now. So it means you have a chance to have a pass rush next year that's better than this year's if you don't pick a pass rusher. But if you get a good one, then all of a sudden you've got a really good pass rush. Right. So either way, it's good.
All right, final question. Will Darryl Smith make a difference when he returns?
I mean, if he can get – if he can play like half of what he did last year, then, yeah, he'll make you better. But, I mean, there's two games left. It's not going to matter. But, yeah, I mean, he'll make you better because he's Darryl Smith.
And doesn't it give you a little bit – again, we know his contract's up, so we'll see what happens. But it at least – from an evaluation standpoint, seeing what the defense looks like with him out on the field gives you a little bit better feeling that you have good information heading to next season.
Well, better players help guys play better around them, and you know, we saw it for a little while. I think Chad has played a little better overall than Blaine did, which has sort of helped you get a better evaluation on the receivers maybe, so that helped. In that sense, yeah, I mean, it'll give you a better idea what you got around him, but I think Darryl wants to play to prove he can play because he worked all season to play. And the Jaguars went playing because they want to win a couple games.
And Mike Mularkey said in his press conference yesterday that he doesn't know yet if Darryl Smith's going to play, but he's getting a little more pep in his step. And the attitude or the energy, I guess, that he's had kind of leads you to think that Darryl's ready to go. And this is the week, by the way, Saturday, is when they can pull him off the injured reserve recall list for this year. So we'll see how it plays out. All right, we'll take your calls at 800-355-NFL1. You can also join the conversation via social media if you want to tweet to John or myself, at John Osher, at Cole Pepper. Or you can chime in on Jaguars' Facebook page. That's facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Are you getting your Jaguars rewards? Sign up at rewards.jaguars.com to get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. And stop by Southside Kia in Kia of Orange Park, home with a 10-year, 10,000-mile warranty, and you're home for No Credit Check Wednesday. Back with more Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. Cole Pepper, John Osher here. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue is the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Get ready for the playoffs and your favorite bowl games with Sonny's Game Day Wings. 40 mouth-watering wings for just $19.99. Takeout only. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. Let's hear from General Manager Gene Smith what you maybe don't know from Sunday's game.
Yeah, we did rush the ball for 4.1 yards a carry. Montel Owens has done a very good job stepping into the halfback role because he's been kind of a utility back, elite special team player here, and he takes great pride in running the ball with aggression.
All right, so the running game showing a little bit of a sign with Montel the last couple of weeks, actually, which is a positive step for the Jaguars offense. They had been it's been a long time as far as the running game to really get going, and that maybe leads us well into the injury update brought to you by Baptist Health. Depend on us for life. Maurice Jones-Drew still week to week. Mike Mularkey saying yesterday, John, that they were going to work him in a little bit more. We mentioned Rashad Jennings still dealing with a concussion, hasn't passed the concussion test yet. Neither George Selvey, and Darryl Smith potentially being back is kind of the one interesting move for this week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see Maurice playing this week. Certainly, it'll be interesting to see, you know, play him in the finale. I guess that there's a chance that could happen. So, Darryl Smith becomes a very interesting storyline this week. For Darryl's sake, such a good guy and such a important, good player for this team for so long. You would hope he could get a chance to get back in for two games if that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, and especially to show what he's got.
Yeah.
Contract is up, so he wants to be able to show he can still play. Roster moves made today. Jaguars promoting wide receiver Mike Brown, rookie linebacker Brandon Marshall, and fourth-year tight end Isaiah Standback from the practice squad. Placed Andre Branch on the injury reserve list with a groin injury. Jordan Todman with a calf injury also on the IR, and they waived wide receiver Quan Cosby and fullback Will Tofo'o. And so they have one open spot on the roster as of right now. Wide receiver Kevin Elliott signed by the Bills.
Yeah, and I, you know, admit I had that wrong. I didn't think Kevin could be signed back to a practice squad. I read the CBA wrong on that. Apparently, he can't. So, good for him. Good kid, and hope for his sake he makes it. He was always very pleasant to deal with.
Might be the best tweeter on the team. Spend a lot of time on Twitter. All right, let's get some calls in here. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Barnes is at the beach. Barnes, you're up here on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King.
Yeah, hey, good evening, fellas.
Good evening.
I heard earlier y'all were just talking about the direction that the Jaguars would need to take in the draft or, just looking at the team overall. And I guess my question is, it seems like the NFL, for success, a lot of it is talent. And if you had to evaluate the players that start for Jacksonville, how many of them, probably other than Maurice Jones-Drew, would start on, let's just say, an average NFL team?
You're talking about the guys who are starting right now on the field with all the injuries, or the guys who were slated as starters before injuries?
Well, I think injuries are a part of the game, but just maybe. I'd just like to hear for everybody who's healthy, if they were all healthy, how many would be on a Cincinnati team or a Pittsburgh team, teams that are maybe 500 or trying to get into playoffs, how many of our guys are at that level?
Okay. We'll do our best on that.
I mean, guys I consider frontline, I think Eugene Monroe's a frontline guy. I think Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackmon, I don't know if they would start for every – I think Cecil would start for a whole lot of teams. Mm-hmm. I think he'd start for Cincinnati, clearly. Pittsburgh's got two really good receivers. Would he be on – I think Cecil's in the mix. I think Justin Blackmon is showing the signs that you want right now from a young receiver to think that he'll be a good player. Would he start for a team like Pittsburgh right now over those two guys? I'm not sure. Would he be a third guy who contributed? I think so. Pislesny.
Depending on Landry and Lowry,
the two safeties.
Derek Cox.
And it kind of goes back and forth. Every roster has weaknesses. Every roster has strengths. Yeah. So, in general terms, Cox, when he's on the field, certainly.
Yeah.
Terrence Knighton should be. I don't think he's playing to that level this year.
Jason Babin, you know, nobody wants to talk about special teams. Two kickers, kicker and punter are good, you know. So in that range, you know, it's a difficult question to answer because
yeah, what you categorize as an average team, yeah, you can say this team, that team, and you go look.
Every roster has holes that we don't see because we don't cover those teams closely. But those are the guys that stand out that I think most teams would go.
If you use the tight, if you they use the could fullback, help Greg us. Jones would
right.
start. I mean, there's no doubt. So,
I mean, the two linebackers outside Poslesny are probably, you know, ideally backup special teams guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a knock on Russell Allen. I think he's a great special teams player and a very good backup to have.
You'd like him to be your fourth linebacker, which would give you a pretty good feeling of linebacker.
Yeah, Rasheen's injured. When Rasheen's healthy, you know, he can start for a lot of teams. So when things go bad, everything looks bad. A lot of these guys in a system that was functioning a little better overall, a team that's functioning a little better overall, would be good players.
Yeah. All right, Barnes, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Have a tweet here from Theo who says, what can the fans expect for next year? Will Khan address the fans directly once the season ends? I thought it was an interesting couple of questions there. What can the fans expect for next year? I think the owner has said, basically every time he's been asked about it, what his comment is that he wants to build a sustainable winner in Jacksonville. So that, you know, what does that mean? How is he going to go about that? Who does he lean on to do that? That still remains to be seen. We're all learning this along the way, as the fans are as well.
Right.
We had a very good feeling. I've said this a number of times. We had a very good feeling about the way Wayne Weaver was going to operate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd been through it for years and years and years. We've not been through it with Shad Khan to see what kind of, you know, what influences his decision-making. What's his, you know, process style and so forth.
Right.
What direction he's going to go in. As far as addressing the fans, I would anticipate that you'll hear some, you know, maybe press conference or a release or something, but I don't know. The only time Wayne Weaver usually did an end-of-the-year press conference is when there was either going to be dramatic change or dramatic pressure put on, you know, a coach, for instance.
Right. I mean, everybody's speculating that Gene Smith won't be here. Shad Khan has not said that, and I've not seen any reports to say that's true. So, you know, obviously that will be an issue after the season that in some public capacity I assume Shad Khan will address relatively quickly and when it's appropriate. What you don't know is in his mind when it's going to be appropriate. Is a move made? Is it not made? Shad so far has been very good about when he has something to say. To be available and to say it quite honestly and frankly. As far as addressing the fans, I assume he's talking about a press conference and not a public forum out in the middle of Everbank. But my guess is very quickly you'll hear something from Shad one way or the other in some capacity.
And if nothing else, it'll be an exclusive one-on-one interview on Jaguars.com.
Well, he has been I think for a first-year owner, and I get emails saying all the time, what in the world is he doing? Is he not committed to winning? He's owned the team less than a year.
Yeah.
He's trying to figure out the right process to go through. People wanted him to, you know, fire Gene midseason, fire Mike midseason, fire this guy midseason, fire, you know, Joe Fortunato midseason. You know,
that, I mean, I could get behind a couple of those.
You know, but he has made it clear he wants this to play out. There is a proper measured way he wants to do something, and I think measured is the best way to, you know, watch what he's going to do. He doesn't want to be knee-jerk whatever direction he goes, and he wants to make sure that whatever decision he makes for this franchise moving forward is not a quick trigger, but rather the right way moving forward for the long term.
Now let's go back to the phones. Rob in Orange Park is up next here on Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. Rob, how you doing?
I'm well, Cole. Good evening, gentlemen. I wanted to ask if with Jones-Drew being out for 8 weeks, 2 months he's been on the bench with that injury, and yet he's still the team's leading rusher. So is this more indicative of what we have as the running back backup? So when we all thought that Jennings was going to really take a step up, and he kind of showed that in preseason, but then kind of laid an egg during the regular season, or is it more of what's going on? Well, we do have some talent, but the offensive line is just not gelling in the run game.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, guys. Merry Christmas, Joe.
All right. Thank you very much, Rob.
Thanks, Rob. I think it's a mixture. I don't think it's any secret that Rashad has not played as well as everybody thought he would. Now, when Montel has run and when Maurice has run and even when Jalen Parmalee has run, it has not been as dominant as years past. I think most of the linemen would say they have not blocked as well as years past. They're disappointed in that. So, you know, usually in football, the answer to that kind of a question is a combination of things. Yeah. But, you know, I don't think Rashad played as well as we expected him to or as we saw him do in the preseason for whatever reason. So that certainly hurt for those few games where he was the primary back. But overall, I think most of the offensive line would tell you they're disappointed in how they've run block as well.
They're also on their seventh left guard, and that usually doesn't help things.
Yeah, but you're supposed to be able to cover up one spot. I mean, yep. They have not run block as well as they wanted to.
No doubt. And, I've talked –
even with
this
that.
Is my – I'm not sure if you – you've heard me espouse this theory. I'm not sure if you go along with it, but
I've heard you espouse a theory or two.
Yeah, and I will do that from time to time or constantly. And to me, what we're looking at is a transition in terms of approach from the offensive line. They want to be a better pass-blocking line. They want to be a – it's tough to be a dominant run-blocking line when you're concentrating on pass block.
Mm-hmm.
And in this day and age in the NFL, I think you have to be able to throw the football. And I think you have – you know, when you've got guys like Shorts and Blackman – who both look like they can play. We know Shorts especially looks like he can play, and Blackman looks like he's a guy who can develop into something pretty good. You want to be able to throw the football. All right, we'll take time out. More calls when we come back. Season ticket owners, don't forget to use your Teal Deals by signing up at TealDeals.com and downloading over $5,000 worth of gift certificates to use at merchants all over Jacksonville. And you can pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations. Learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase is necessary. We're back with more Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Cole Pepper, John Osher here. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. Here's your chance to see the Jaguars take on the Patriots this Sunday for just $20 with a coin toss ticket. A limited number of coin toss tickets will be available for purchase at Everbank Field this Saturday between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. For more information, call 904-633-2000. And I'll point out that they're taking off another set of tarps.
Yeah. So, Tom Brady in town.
So it wasn't Tebow with the Jets.
Not sure it was.
Oh, it was Tebow with the Jets. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, good. Good. good for the franchise and the tarps. Come on.
Speaking of that, the Jets making the announcement today that Greg McElroy will start for them this week against San Diego. Probably the end of things for Mark Sanchez in New York, you'd have to think. And there's another team that's going to be looking for a quarterback unless they really fall in love with McElroy here. This is going to be one of the interesting things to see as far when the draft comes up. And I've got a mock draft I'm going to make a comment on here in a little bit. It's an interesting thing because that whoever the top quarterback is, and we're assuming it's Geno Smith out of West Virginia, but maybe that changes. Whoever that is, there are going to be a lot of teams in the top 10 that need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So do they try to wait and hope to get their guy in the top of the second round, or will somebody fall in love with Geno Smith and want to really move up? In a draft,
usually somebody falls in love,
yes,
if only because she's the only girl at the dance.
Right.
I mean, you know, and you know,
and even when it's not, though, John, you look at the draft, Gabbert's draft, Tennessee fell in love with Jake Locker. That was their guy,
right,
that they really wanted, you know? I mean, obviously, so even
sometimes there's a lot of girls at the dance.
Sometimes there are, yeah.
Right. And, you know, we don't know what the Jaguars are going to do in that situation. I mean, there is so much unknown between now and April and even now and January 15th. That it's just tough to speculate on what the future of certain spots will be until you know what the philosophy is going forward. And it includes this team trading with X team. A lot of these teams, you know, who knows about the Jets? Who knows what their front office is going to believe? Who knows what their front office will be? I mean, it's a lot of these theories are interesting to speculate on now, but you won't really be able to start deciphering things until you know what direction that franchise is going to take and what the philosophies of the people running them are going to be.
All right, let's hear from the head coach, Mike Mularkey, last night on the Mike Mularkey Show, talking about the penalty on Guy Wimper and the momentum that it killed.
We have had a a play here or there every one of the games we've been in that has just been monumental in changing the momentum of the game, and I can't explain why, but that penalty really hurt us. I mean, really hurt us, and Guy Wimper has reported every single time in practice and in games. We're talking 400 plus times, and I think he did in the game. I just don't think the official, he did not do it as we ask. You know, you got to go all the way up to the referee with right. The white hat on and make sure that he sees you. And I think Guy just gave him the signal because he's been doing it so many times, and it just didn't. It's just incredible that happened on, you know, wasn't like a 1 yard run. It was a big touchdown momentum when it happened.
All right, there's comments from Mike Mularkey last night on the Mike Mularkey Show. That may be the most frustrating thing. You want to talk about frustration from this season for Jaguars fans. Injuries certainly have to be there, that you haven't seen a quarterback really establish himself, and then not being able to deal well with small, sometimes they're significant sure. at the time, but a little thing going bad in one direction that they haven't handled that better.
Well, and that's what teams that finish 2-12 or, you know, get to 2-12, that's what happens. You know, good teams overcome that situation. They go ahead and, you know, I know a lot of fans are saying, hey, there was no rule that just because that first play gets called back, you can't go score. Yep. There's no rule that says you have to give a 14-play drive. So fans are tired of hearing about the one play. I've been saying it all year. There's been a lot of situations where that one play has turned the game. But I think Mike would be the first to tell you, you can't just let that one play turn everything around, and that's where they've got to get to, is where that doesn't happen. Yep. Because bad plays happen to every team.
Have to be mentally tougher about it. I mean, no doubt about it. All right, let's get some calls in here at 800-355-NFL1 or via Twitter at Cole Pepper, at John Osher, or on Facebook.
That's right, Cole. And by the way, all of our social media questions brought to us by CopyFax. This is, he says, this team looks like it plays with no heart. Please tell me how I am wrong.
Well, that's, you talk about heart. I think the mental toughness part of it is what we were talking about with missing those games. Whether it's, I don't know that it's a lack of heart. And people see when a team is getting beat, they think, oh, they've got no heart, they've got no energy, they've got no pop, they've got no zazz, whatever they want to use. They use zazz in the 40s. But I don't know if it's a heart thing. A team without a heart falls apart and loses, you know, 58-0.
Right.
You know, that's like we saw in Arizona. That's a team without heart. I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that in the last couple of weeks, I've seen a team that has gotten discouraged at times.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed, you know, and heart, whatever. You know, I always hesitate to say that because it's so hard to see inside of a guy. The wheels have certainly come off in the second half. I think a lot of that is guys want to make a play. You get sort of desperate on defense. You see this gap over here giving up 3 yards, so you jump in, all of a sudden somebody pops outside and turns 25, then you get discouraged, have a bad series, and it just sort of snowballs. So I certainly think in the second half of some of these games this year, the team has gotten discouraged and maybe had a here we go again. I mean, it was close and now here we go again. Are there times when human nature takes over and that happens? Sure. But for the most part, this is not a team of guys that when I'm around them, I get the sense that they don't care. And there's a difference between not caring and just not being able to get it done.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's more of not being able to get it done than not caring. I don't believe this team doesn't care.
All right, we'll take time out. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King continues. Talk about the Patriots, the upcoming opponent when we come back. More of your calls as well. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. And you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Back after this timeout on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King, right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Jaguars fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up and sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league. Earn points every time you post something Jaguars, and use your points to win great prizes, including a chance to win tickets for the Jaguars game in London.
I was always told to go away when I tried to be social.
Yeah, this way you can do it online.
Because this is not a good contest for me.
Yeah. Well, I think you got a shot at going to the game in London. See how it plays out. Play your cards right. Time now for the Scouts Eye Unsung Player of the Week. General Manager Gene Smith picking out his Scouts Eye Unsung Player.
Mike Harris. Mike Harris could have got it a couple weeks. He did an outstanding job in run support. He had five tackles, one assist. He had a PBU that was really a touchdown-saving PBU. He had another PBU that he was called for pass interference, which was a 50-50 call. And he also had a quarterback hit on a blitz.
There you go. Mike Harris, who's had a nice second half of the season as a rookie out of Florida State, has done a nice job and looks like a guy the Jaguars can utilize going forward.
Yeah, I mean, he's, I've said it several times this year, he's everything you want from a sixth round rookie. He's come in, he's played when needed, taken advantage of an injury situation, moved up a little bit, and shown that he's a guy with an off season who could be a, I don't know if a guy to build around, but a guy who could, you know, be a solid player for you.
Be a part of the
equation. If every non-first-round pick was that, you'd be pretty happy.
All right. Interesting mock draft today. Russ Landy, who does a lot of NFL scouting and mock draft kind of stuff, has a mock draft out. And before we talk about the Patriots quickly, he's got the Jaguars slotted right in where they would be right now at number two, and has them taking Bjorn Werner from Florida State, who's a guy who I've been talking about for a while. I really like, a high-energy guy, is maybe a little bit lighter than you'd like, but not as much as some of the other defensive ends. He's a guy who you would project could actually play at 265, 270 as a defensive end, which is about Jason Babin's size, by the way. Babin, I think, has told me he plays about 262.
Mm-hmm.
So, had them. By the way, number one, they had the Chiefs taking star Lutulele, who's the defensive tackle, who I've only seen highlights on, and he looks good in his highlights, but who doesn't? This sort of segues into the conversation we were having early about if you have Babbitt on one side and, you know, imagine Werner on the other and Mincy inside along with take your pick on the other defensive tackle, you could really envision that looks like a group that has the potential to really rush the passer.
Yeah, my understanding is there's a lot of, you know, very good ends linebackers of that size in the draft, and I look forward to talking about them in January.
John, who's I will enjoy tuning in to you to, on Jaguars this week to talk about it. We'll be done January 1st with our final show, but just kind of an interesting mock draft that's out there. It, and in that mock draft, the other thing is, again, Landy does a pretty good job typically.
He, very much so.
But one interesting point of that is that he has Geno Smith going number 14. To the Jets, incidentally.
And that's where a lot of people have him.
And not the first quarterback being taken. He has Matt Barkley going at 11, and even before that, Mike Glennon of North Carolina State going 7, which seems awfully high for
And for if Glennon. He's got them that high now, it would stand to reason that you're going to see that pro day fever, I call it, where guys is pro day and now he's number two pick. Now that guy's a pro day. Now he's the number two. You know, so if there's three guys like that, which it sounds like there are, you'll usually see, you know, that competition. People fall in love with him at the combine, and it'll sort itself out. And so that's going to be a very interesting story to follow because, you know, an argument could be made that that's what the Jaguars need to do. An argument could be made that that's what the Jaguars need to stay away from. So it's going to be a very interesting decision come the spring.
All right. So also looking at this week's opponent, New England, 10 and
yeah,
they
four. Don't need a quarterback.
No, they're pretty set at that position. 10-4. They clinched the AFC East. They lead the league in scoring and in yards per game. And they're going to be certainly focused coming off the home loss to San Francisco. They've got a chance to get a first-round bye. They're in the mix for a first-round bye, so that's going to matter to them.
It's going to be tough for them to get a first-round bye, but they're still playing for
it. They're mathematically still alive for it. They averaged 41 points per game over the last seven games where they've gone 6-1. They're plus 22 in the turnover margin. A couple other notes here. Steven Ridley's over 1,100 yards rushing. It's been a while since they've had a guy run it that well. 10 touchdowns as well. Wes Welker already has 100 catches. But they are giving up some yards and some numbers to guys through the air.
Well, and, you know, realistically, this is, you know, obviously a tough matchup for the Jaguars. But if you think back to the Texans game, which was the game that the Jaguars played very, very well, they were able to throw the ball, able to stay with a very good team. It would take that kind of a game. Probably the Jaguars need to play a lot better than they even did that day. I mean, this is a good team that takes teams that aren't as good as it apart. So it's going to be a tough matchup.
Also among the tough matchups here is going to be covering the tight ends. Gronkowski could be back in there. He practiced late last week, and I think he was active for the game yesterday and Sunday, Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, those guys really putting pressure on outside linebackers and safety and so forth. That's a tough matchup. I will say, though, if you want to hang your hat on something, if you want something to grab onto, because nobody on the planet's going to pick the Jaguars to beat the Patriots, including myself, but the Jaguars have had some of their best games against some of the best teams on their schedule.
Absolutely.
You know, they've beaten the Colts, who are going to be a playoff team. They've played well. They went to overtime against Houston, had a very good game in Green Bay and lost. So some of these top teams, for whatever reason, they've had some of their best performances.
Yeah, the Patriots are one of those teams that everybody knows that they're so good and so potent offensively that they can break that trend in a hurry. I mean, they are a team, much like the Lions did, who can put up points fast and get you out of the game fast. So, but I'm not saying that has to happen, but if you're not playing well, if you're not aware, the Patriots have a whole lot of guys you got to be aware of. If you have a couple of plays where you're not aware of guys, they can, you know, they can get you out of it in a hurry. Yeah. And, you know, I would think this is one of those classic games where you've got to stay in it early. The Jaguars have shown the last couple of weeks when it starts to get away from them, it's gotten away from them. If they can stay in it and make some plays and make themselves believe, the longer they can do that, the longer they're dangerous. So maybe that'll happen.
And I've overlooked the hole in the ozone today. Caitlin from Jacksonville had a decent question here. Now that Henny has started a few games, a lot of the Jaguars fan base thinks he isn't good enough. Personally, I think he has what it takes, but when your O-line really isn't protecting your quarterback, you struggle. I think he's done the best he can with the situation given. What do you think?
I think that has been a very good question involving Gabbert and Henny. And I think that's what the people trying to figure out what to do at that position going forward are going to need to dissect how much is the quarterback, how much is the line.
Yeah, and by the
on
way,
both players.
One of the names that may come into some conversations this offseason, when you start talking about quarterbacks, Joe Flacco is starting to fall out of favor in Baltimore. They haven't had things going their way. They've backed their way into the playoffs and fired the offensive coordinator. Would Flacco be a guy that is suddenly going to be the hot quarterback, free agent quarterback this offseason? We'll see if they don't re-sign him. They wouldn't be cutting him. He's at the end of his contract.
As I mentioned, in the Ozone mailbag today, a lot of dissecting and a lot of figuring out and fixing to be done, and it's going to be a process.
Figuring, fixing.
Figuring.
Dissecting.
That's right.
Keeping and helping. All right, John, thanks a lot. Tomorrow night, John will be back with Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna. And then on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff between the Jaguars and the Patriots. We'll have pregame coverage beginning with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 10 o'clock. For John Osher, for Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening, and good night from Jaguar Central.